George, and that you have touched his life and his heart. And we pray now just for the Holy Spirit to really help him bring this word today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brilliant. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to be up here. I feel a bit weird not having a guitar. It was very odd. And I do feel, that's all right, Tim, you keep it. I feel a bit sorry for you as well, because last week you had Mike Pilavachi and this week you got me. But hey, we'll get through it. We'll get through it. A few weeks ago, I was in St. Andrew's Primary School. Mel, who normally plays the keyboard, asked me to come in and to speak to the Year 4s. And I had to basically answer any questions they had. And it was meant to be on church, and there was different questions about who do I support, football team, what do I do in my spare time. And I decided that I'd think in my head the answers that they might ask. And it was a lot of it was about church and what I get up to with YFC, what I get up to here amongst High Street. And I had all these answers figured out. And there were some great questions. And one girl at the back of the classroom, she said, what's your favourite Bible story? And I'm like, I don't have a favourite Bible story. And I'm there, I'm panicking. I'm looking at Mel because she's next to me. And I'm like, and I'm not quite sure what to say. And I suddenly think of a story that I feel God's really been speaking to me about. And it's the story of Moses. And I won't give the reason that I said to that little girl that morning, because otherwise we can just go home and have our dinner. But actually, Moses was an amazing character, and I feel very confident and very happy, because I didn't actually say to Paul what I was preaching this morning, and he prayed about Moses, and for me that was a real confirmation. We could do a whole series on Moses. We could do a month, we could do a year. It's just a massive amount of Moses' life. Runs from Exodus 1 to Deuteronomy 34. And even after that, you know, you see Joshua, and it just doesn't stop. And there's a massive amount that we can just pull out. Moses was born at quite a time where Pharaoh was ordering the midwives to kill any boys that were born. And his mother hid him for about 3 months. We believe she hid him for 3 months. And she, after a time of 3 months, she really struggled and thought, I'll put him in a basket and put him down the river. And Pharaoh, his daughter, princess, found this basket with this boy that was crying and saw something really special in this baby boy. A few years later, when he grew up, they adopted him, and Moses was part of the family. When Moses was older, he went out to see his people, and he saw an Egyptian beating this Hebrew. Am I right saying Hebrew? This Hebrew guy. And Moses didn't like it at all, so he actually killed this Egyptian guy. He was starting to worry that actually people were starting to find out. Pharaoh found out, and Pharaoh was after Moses, and he started wanting to kill Moses. So Moses fled, and he fled to Midian. Fled to the land of Midian. And there he found a wife, and he had a son. And one day he was tending the flock of his father-in-law's sheep, and he came across this burning bush. And this burning bush was God. And God said, Moses, I don't know what Pharaoh is doing to my people, and I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, who am I, God? You've chosen the wrong person. You've got it wrong. That's not where my gifting is. It's just not going to happen. But Moses constantly kept saying to Moses, Moses, you've got to go. I'm trust you. I'll be with you when you go. And Moses says, oh, God, I can't. I've got speech problems. I'm not a good public speaker. And he goes, fine. What I'll do is I'll bring alongside you Aaron, your brother. And you will be God, and he will be the prophet. So you will listen to me, and then you instruct Aaron what to do, and Aaron will do it. So he said, yeah, okay, I'll do it with Aaron. So he goes along, and he meets Aaron, he tells Aaron what's going on, and they go to Pharaoh. And at first, they said to Pharaoh, God's telling us that you need to let his people go. And Pharaoh says, no chance, no chance. If anything, it gets worse on the Israelites because of how Moses and Aaron approached them. And then people started ganging up against Moses and Aaron because actually just life got worse. And Moses is thinking, God, what are you doing? Where are you in all of this? I'm doing what you're asking me to do, but yeah, I can't see anything happening. If anything, things are getting worse. God said to Moses, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. And Moses constantly kept going back to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go, or God will do this and this. And God did loads. The plague of blood, where Aaron turned the river Nile into blood, killing fish. Again, showing how powerful God is. The plague of frogs, I'm just going to go through these. The plagues of frogs, the plague of flies, the plague of against livestock, the plague of festering boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, the plague of darkness. And still, Pharaoh said no. And there was times where Pharaoh said, yeah, okay, I'll let my people go, or let God's people go. And then he changed his mind. And Moses is like, I just can't do it. You know, we keep approaching him, and we're saying, Pharaoh, let God people go. And Pharaoh's saying, no way, no chance. Until God says to Moses, go again, go again. And at this time, God said to Moses, I'm going to get you to sacrifice lambs, because I'm going to strike down every firstborn of Egypt, going from Pharaoh's firstborn to the prisoner firstborn. And I want you to sacrifice lambs, and I want you to put blood on the frame of the door. And that will be the way I know not to go and go past that door and to go past that house and to go past that family. After that night, Pharaoh ordered them to get out. Take my people. I don't want anything to do with you. Just go. Just go. It took them about 40 years to get to the promised land. When God said to Moses at the burning bush, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt, to the promised land where there'll be milk and honey. It took him 40 years. And towards the end of his life, and in that 40 years, there's a massive amount, again, that we could just pull out. But towards the end of those 40 years, Moses invested in a guy called Joshua. And Joshua went everywhere with Moses. And when Moses died, Moses passed the baton on to Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. And for me, there is loads we can pull out, but I've just got a few points that I'd like to share that I feel we can really learn from this story. First of all, we need to listen and obey the call in our lives. It's really important that we don't go against what God is saying for us to do. You know, Mike Pavacci speaks a little bit about obedience last week, and I feel Moses, after a lot of kind of swabbling, he finally went and did it. And not to worry about who we are and to what we've done and what we're not capable of. You know, there's a famous quote that says, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And he's calling us all to do amazing things today in this nation, in this land, and in the world. You know, you hear of just Josh doing amazing things. And if God said to Josh, I want you to go and do this YRAM course. And Josh said, no way. He probably won't be doing what he's doing now. And actually, you come back and you ask him, was it great? Oh, definitely. So worth being obedient to God. So worth it. And when God asked Moses to go to Pharaoh, he said, who am I? I've got speech problems. I'm not good at that kind of stuff. It's not my gifting at all. Reminds me of a time where I did my GCSEs about 5 years ago now. And I was never very academic. I really struggle with that kind of stuff. I'm always a very hands-on person. And I thought I'd take RE GCSE. And I thought I'd be plain sailing. It's, you know, Christianity, 2 years Christianity, I can do this. You know, I've got this in the bag. And for most of my 2 years, I tried my best, probably not my highest, what I could do. And I did my exam, and I got my results, and I was horrified of what I got in GCSE RE. It was lower than a C. It was low. You laugh, it's getting worse. It's lower than a D. It's lower than an E. I got an F in RE. And I couldn't believe there were people in my class that knew I was Christian saying I failed at life because it was that severe. And do you know what I do for a job apart from working at TK Maxx now? I go into RE lessons and I teach RE to secondary school. And I think God's just got the best sense of humour. And I could say, and well, the weirdest thing, the teacher that taught me for the GCSE, she's still there and I take her lessons. And it is... and it is bizarre. It is brilliant. And Jerry often reminds her that I got an F in RE and she's like, yeah, all right. He's got a great sense of humour. And actually, when Jerry said to me, George, we'd like to offer you this kind of trainee position to train you up to work in schools and to work with young people, I could have said, Jerry, I got an F in RE. I can't do that. But yet, God still uses, I believe God still uses YFC, but he uses me in that situation in the schools. And I could think, oh, I'm just very embarrassed. And you know what, to a point, I don't care anymore. But when I got the result, I was embarrassed. But I still need to know that God still used me. And he wants to use you as well. It's not just about me, it's about all of us. You know, we believe Moses was around 80 when God called him. And I don't know, when I think about callings on life, I think about young people. And, you know, we hear about Abby and we hear about Rezzy and Josh and amazing things. Well, actually, we're all called. From, however, 15 to 80, we're all called to do amazing things. It doesn't matter who we are, we need to listen. We need to obey to what God is calling us on our life. Second point. God puts people around us to help our calling. And Moses said, God, I can't do it. I'm really going to struggle. And he says, fine, I'll bring alongside you Aaron. And like I said, when I sum the story up, Moses was God and Aaron was prophet. And so Moses listened to God, and Aaron was the prophet. Aaron listened to what Moses said and then did the action. God loves to have people around us in our calling. He loves to partner us, whether that's with our wife or with our best friend, with our brother. He loves to put us together with someone else to help us in our calling. You know, in Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other one can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Was I that bad, Vanessa? Sorry, I'm joking, sorry, sorry, carry on. Sorry. Two are better than one. And I believe God calls people around each other to help us. We all have individual callings, and we all have things that God lays in our hearts, but actually we all need people around us. We need to work in partnership. You know, we're so blessed to have a church this size. We can find people that can help us and to get alongside of us and to grow us spiritually and to help us in what God feels like we're calling us to do. I look at my my parents and I think, I know Jess and I, we've said this a number of times, but if we can turn out anything like mum and dad and how they work together, we'll be well chuffed. Because they work together, you know, when dad was an elder, you know, I don't think dad would be where he is today without mum. I don't think that, because she helped him massively and he helped her. Why? Because there were some areas where dad was very strong at, and there were some areas that mum was not so strong at. And there were some areas that mum was strong at, and there was areas that dad wasn't so strong at, and they worked together, and they helped their abilities, just like Moses and Aaron. Moses wasn't great at speaking. Okay, great, so we'll get Aaron to this speaking. And then Moses can listen to God. I don't know if Aaron maybe struggled listening to God and interpreting what God was saying. God calls us to be in partnership with people. Third point. God is always with us. You know, when Moses said, when God said to Moses, I want you to go and to go, go to Egypt and let my people go, he said, I will always be with you. In Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we respond to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We had springboard this morning, and Wendy was praying about how he's a good, good father and he wants the best for our lives. And sometimes we think, God just doesn't, he's just not around. You know, when Moses kept going to Pharaoh and he kept getting knocked back, he must have thought, God, I thought you were with me on this. I thought we were working together. And yet, we're just not getting anywhere. But we need to know that God is always with us and he's so for us. He's on our side. And we need to remember that in daily and weekly. Number four. Ask God who you can help in their calling. You know, towards Moses' life, Joshua came alongside Moses, and Joshua went everywhere with Moses. And it was almost like Moses saw something really special in Joshua and decided to invest his time and everything he had into Joshua. We need to be seeking the people around us who we feel we can invest in, who we can spend time with. And, you know, Jesus was the best example of this. With his disciples, he hung out with them, he did ministry with them, and he did life with them. And actually, it's important for us to seek those around us and to seek people who we can invest in and we think that I've got a real calling in their life. It's important. It's really important. Everyone has an individual calling, but we need to be wary about the people around us and invest time into them and their calling. And finally, sorry, I'm rattling through these, Paul. It's fine. Be patient. Be patient, fruit will come. And it took 40 years for them to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. And actually, Moses didn't even see it out. And they could have had a really short trip if they listened to God and if they listened to Moses. Because actually, if you look down to it, the reason why it took 40 years is because they didn't listen to God and they didn't obey what God was saying to them. And in times we feel God promises stuff, like God promised Moses the Promised Land, and we feel, God, you've laid a promise on our heart. I know you've promised me this, but I just can't see the fruit. I can't see the blessing of it. You've called me out and I've done something and I've been obedient to what you've called me to do. And yet, I just can't see the fruit from it. And I can't see how we're getting through this and how we're doing this, how it's benefiting anyone. We all come on a Sunday morning with different things going on in our own lives. We're struggling. Some of us are really struggling. Apart from working with YFC, I work for TK Maxx in Newmarket. And last year we did a Secret Santa, and we're coming up to doing it again actually this year. And I had my team leader, and I won't say her name, and she knew I had her because she was on the organising it. So it just ruins the fun of it, doesn't it, really? So that gives you a lot more pressure what to get her. And she was like, oh, I just like a bottle of rosé. So I got a bottle of rosé. I thought, no, I want to do it. I want to get something else. And I thought about getting her the book, The Shack. And so I bought the book, The Shack, and I wrapped it up, and I put it under the tree in our staff room, and I didn't think anything of it. And I thought, I wonder what kind of conversations might come out of it. I wonder, because I know she likes reading. And nothing happened. Just nothing happened, and she didn't really bring it up, she didn't really talk about it. We talk quite a lot, you know, when we go in, We talk a lot about church, but she didn't talk about it. And I thought, maybe I should speak about it. I thought, no, I'll just leave it. A few months ago, I was talking to her about, she's got two girls, and her older girl was talking to me, she was talking about her older girl to me, about how she loves church. And she's really fascinated by christenings and baptism, this little girl. And she, my team leader, just thought it was a phase. She didn't think it was anything, you know, she'd just grow out of it. And she just can't stop going on about church and this christening and this baptism thing. And they went to church for a reading, and she said to her mum, I feel home here. This is, I feel safe here. This is where I feel that I should belong. And she's like, wow. And she's like, well, you know, it's your choice. It's what you do. She's about 10. And I think, wow. When she's talking about God stirring something in that little girl's heart, I think that's so special. Anyway, a few months passed, and it's about a couple weeks ago now, and we were talking about the Secret Santa for this year, and she goes, oh, that book you gave me last year, I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I've given it to my little girl. And she's reading it now. And I think, God's amazing, isn't it? Isn't he? And I think from that point, I thought, God, I feel that you've actually called me to give this book to this lady. And I didn't see any fruit from it. But yeah, God blesses that. And you might think, well, they're not saved. But for me, it's a success. And I came away absolutely chuffed and really blessed from that. And like Moses and Joshua, they could have felt, we've done what you've asked us to do, God. But yet, we don't see the fruit from it. God will bring the fruit. He's got the blessing. He will bring the blessing. So what can we learn from Moses? We can learn loads of stuff. But we need to listen and obey the call in our life. We need to realize that people around us to help us in our calling is really healthy. We need to realize that God is with us in our calling. We need to ask God who we can help in their calling. And we also need to be patient when God calls us, because the fruit will come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.